And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Melinda Kubero and Teresa Wasilowski, here to talk about the Movement Lab Dance Group's presentation of Haunt, which will take place this weekend at Theater 810, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, before we talk about Haunt specifically, let's talk about your backgrounds and this particular group, because there's a lot going on with dance and movement, I guess more generally, here in our community than perhaps had been in the past. And it's not only more traditional forms of dance, but a lot of very interesting collaborative efforts here. So let's start off with you, Teresa. Did you start this group?
I did, actually. Our group actually started, I would say, in Alexandra Collada's production of Alice in Wonderland, which was last spring at Cité des Arts. And I went in and auditioned and was really surprised how many adult-age dancers there were in town that were interested in performing. You know, there's a great program here at UL, and the college dance program is just amazing. So I've always known about that. I came from that background. Melinda did as well. But I just thought, wow, it's so great to be, you know, here with adults who want to continue to move and perform. And so by the time that show was wrapping, I was thinking, well, we should get together and we should continue, you know, to just play in the studio. And so I started bringing in some material, and we met twice a week, and that's kind of how we got started.
Mm-hmm. So are the two of you from the UL dance program?
We both are.
Okay, wonderful. Yes, it has had a reputation for a long time of being both traditional and very innovative in its choreography and movement. So remind people what that particular performance was all about last year, the one you did with Alexandra Collada.
Alice in Wonderland was a contemporary ballet meaning that, you know, a dance that tells story. Mm-hmm. And there were actually kind of different genres mixed in. So what Alexandra did, she was the director, and she got a couple of choreographers going to work on different pieces. But we told the story of Alice in Wonderland through dance. And there was a pole dance, Alice spinning or falling down the rabbit hole. And there were a couple of different group pieces, but they kind of mixed genres, it mixed age levels, and we got to tell that story in a way that I'd never done before. I played the role of the Red Queen, which was a lot of fun. Yeah, that's what we did.
And I believe there was original compositions for the dance.
Right,
as well.
Right. Andres composed some really fun music. I miss it, actually. But he did original music for the entire thing. And I was so impressed with the way, I think that was the first time he'd ever put anything for dancers. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I find it's really hard to kind of communicate with musicians, for me at least, here's what I want. And just kind of the parameters that we want to keep it music in to be danceable. And I was just so impressed with what he did.
Mm-hmm. So it was a very exciting, fulfilling performance, both for the audience, for the performers, for the choreographers and composers, just all around. It was a really interesting, collaborative, very creative effort of movement here in our community.
It was.
So that inspired you. How had you been involved in dance before that, since you graduated?
I was kind of on the long program at UL. I started actually at UL in 97 in the dance program, and kind of left and came back a few times. And so I'd been, you know, in the UL dance, Evening of Dance, and State of La Danse. I've got several of them under my belt. Mm-hmm. So usually when I am working at UL, that's pretty much all you have time for in terms of rehearsal. And, you know, you've got school and then we've got performances. There's always, sometimes, as soon as you wrap a production, you start rehearsals for the next production the next week.
Right. And really those are very professional productions, both State of La Danse and the
right
in the springtime.
Right. Yeah. They're fantastic. And So I did that. I've danced in Baton Rouge as well with Cangelosi Dance Project, and done a couple of independent studies and some collaborative works here as well.
So a lot of interesting experiences in dance. And so you've created the Movement Lab Dance Group now, again, out of all of your experiences, and in particular, the very unique experience last year with Alice in Wonderland.
Right.
And so you've joined forces with Melinda Kubero,
correct,
who also came out of the UL dance program.
That's correct.
And you're doing that kind of interesting New York, Louisiana straddle,
yes,
that many artists from Louisiana have done over the years, whether they're visual artists or dancers or musicians, the lure of New York and yet the pull of home, and not just the pull of familial pull, but also the pull of creativity here.
Correct, mm-hmm, correct.
So how did you start doing that?
Well, I graduated from UL here in the dance program in 2009 and was surprised with having a baby, and had him just after I graduated. So I hung around here for about a year and worked with Sean Roy doing some operas. And then I moved to Austin, Texas for a few years and started dancing professionally over there, and also started choreographing. And from there, I had work that was accepted into a festival in Brooklyn. And from there, I just got hooked up with another UL dancer, Christina Duaron Torres, and formed my company, Blackbird Dance. And from there, I moved back to Louisiana, to Lafayette, because of home, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. And then we've been working. I travel to New York frequently to set my work on the dancers there. And this past year, we went to Guatemala. We went to Scotland. We've been all over. And I also worked with Acting Unlimited here and did You're in Town and some work with She Kills Monsters. And also talked with Teresa and started working with her again as well, which has been quite a pleasure. So
I think people listening will be fascinated by that. And the history of dance at UL is long and very sophisticated.
Uh-huh.
It's just been amazing ever since the 60s with the dance program. And the fact that you all are creating your own companies, you're traveling, you're doing different kinds of choreography, you're extremely active as dancers. And I think some people would think you could only get that by going to a dance program in a large city. But here you are honing your skills and being so creative coming out of the program here in Lafayette,
mm-hmm,
and being so active. So the two of you knew each other in college.
We did.
You've kept in touch. And this performance this weekend of Haunt, the first performance by the Movement Lab Dance Group.
Correct.
How did you put this together? What was the history of this particular piece?
Well, you know, Movement Lab started working together in May, and the parameters were very wide. Hey, let's get together, mm-hmm, and dance and have some studio time. And, you know, I would bring some choreographic phrases or just some ideas and try them on dancers, see what works, what doesn't work. And we would work some in structured improv as well. I'd give them an idea and just kind of let them feel some things out, which I think is a great and really interesting way to develop material. After a few months, decided, you know, it's time to get these guys on stage and let's, you know, let everybody know that we're out here and that we're doing this. And I had a couple of different ideas and things that I wanted to do. I think Haunt was the second, if not possibly the third. You know, creative types always have this. I'm going to make this piece that, you know, is hanging around in the ether for, mm-hmm, like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually hoping at first to bring a piece, a different piece, to the New Orleans Fringe Festival. And Melinda does a lot of the festival circuits, and it's really amazing, you know, to get out there and see the work that people are doing. So I have those hopes for Movement Lab as well. But so that didn't really wasn't really happening so much. But I have been an avid journal keeper for years and years, and that's kind of source material for me. As soon as, you know, what can we do? Let's flip open this book, and I have a couple of dream journals, and I've always thought it was fascinating in dreams, the way that your brain is creative when you're not even trying, you know, and you just wake up with all of these fantastic things that just happen. And I think, you know, it's a great source as well. So I started kind of just cracking the journals and flipping through them. And I thought I could probably do an entire show. And wouldn't it be fun to try to, you know, take this narrative thing that's happening here and see what happens when we make it into movement. So that's kind of how that came about.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you're saying that, I'm sure all of us who made resolutions to start keeping journals and dream journals are thinking, I really do need to do that. Because you do get a lot of ideas and just jotting things down, and you don't always remember, and sometimes you circle back on that. And it's interesting, right, the way you describe how you all got started. It's kind of the equivalent of musicians jamming, getting
right
together and
yeah
just doing improv and jamming and working on riffs and coming up with something. So
exactly,
it sounds a bit like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So you got some of these ideas from your dream journals, from
right
your journals. The piece is called Haunt,
right,
which I'm sure is bringing up all kinds of images in people's minds. Is it a story or a series of images? How would you describe this piece?
That's kind of the trickiest question,
yeah, okay,
I think.
It's not a narrative in the way that Alice in Wonderland was.
No, not in that way. Mm-hmm. Actually, our show, there are four dance pieces. One is a rework. And the other three came directly from the dream journals. And as I was thinking, you know, and brainstorming about this show and going through, you know, my writing, it became apparent to me how much the place, how much the setting was important in these dreams. And you know how you have a dream and it's my house, but it's not my house. And the furniture is rearranged. But there's always, or often for me, this sense of familiarity of knowing where you are, but things being different. And that really stuck out to me a lot. And so as I was thinking about it, I started thinking of dreams and the place, like as a place that you go to when you sleep, as opposed to, you know, what your brain is actually doing. And so I thought of haunt as the noun of the word, like a place that one returns to. And that's how we got the title.
Mm, that one haunts regularly.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, now, you're stage manager for this particular production,
that's
Melinda.
Correct.
I would think that's very challenging considering what Teresa's describing, trying to create a sense of place, of haunting a place. What have you been doing as stage manager for this piece?
It's actually not very challenging. Mm-hmm. It's a nice change of pace for me.
I'm amazing.
Thank you. I'm nursing an injury right now, so it's a nice change of pace for me to be able to sit back and,
you know, actually having to perform or
yeah
be out there showing people how to
right
do
right or direct or anything mm-hmm like that. Yeah. You know, from my perspective, what I've been doing is, you know, I'm her right-hand gal and trying to just take some of the load off of her because she's also performing. So she doesn't need to be...
In addition to choreographing and directing.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So trying to take some of the load off of her. But I know from my perspective as... coming in and seeing, I saw some of this building at some point when I was working with Urinetown, and then coming back in and seeing it all come together, it reminds me of being when you go to sleep and how your brain conjures up all these images that or dreams that may be related but may not be related, and you have some things that that come back and connect, but there are larger things that don't necessarily connect. So that's what it is for me anyway. And I don't think that, you know, I don't think that that's necessarily important for every audience member, but for me, when I saw it, I was like, oh, okay, I see this, I see that, I see this. And Teresa's a brilliant choreographer.
Oh,
so, you know, and I've been able to help her. I've been able to be a set of eyes for her as well when she is performing, to allow that so she doesn't have to stress out, you know, about, oh, gosh, what does this look like? What does that look like? Mm-hmm. And help her find dead spots with lights and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So just to be there for her as a second person.
Well, who else is involved in this performance in addition to the two of you?
Well, our dancers are Francis Barker, Sabrina Benazus, Brandy Simon, and Tyler Wilson, in addition to myself. And my good friend Coleman Wilson, who is a musician and songwriter, has also worked some music pieces that tie in to the theme as well. So he'll be running light and sound, but he'll actually be playing some of his own music while he's doing that.
Again, a great collaboration with original music.
Right.
For those of you just tuning in, my guests are Teresa Wasilowski and Melinda Kubero, both working with Movement Lab's production of Haunt, which will open on Friday and run through the weekend at Theater 810. Very intimate space, so it's always a good idea to reserve your tickets ahead of time. There's only about 50 seats, unless you all have taken more away with this. But it's about 50 seats in there.
Yeah.
How is it working out, that space?
Beautifully. Yeah. It really, moving dancers from one space to another can always be a challenge, because even I found when I measure and get the tape measure out and find exactly, you know, the dimensions of things, it never seems right whenever you move into the actual theater. But I am loving being in 810. We've got five dancers on stage, and that's totally cozy and perfect for us. And I've always just been fond of intimate spaces for dance or theater anyway. So it's working out well. We've got the Marley down and we're ready to go.
It's a very versatile space. I've seen, you know, a lot of shows in that theater, and to see it turn into an entire dance space is just remarkable, to have Marley down and some, you know, wings or in the back, if you
when
will.
When you say Marley down, what do you mean?
Marley is
the floor.
The dance floor.
The dance floor.
Yes.
Okay,
floor. Yes.
Just
right.
for those lay people, I guess, if you don't know. The Marley, I was thinking, is that a character?
Right. No. Marley is, especially if there are any UL dance alums tuned in, they'll know.
How important
exactly,
that is.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really important. It's a kind of thick, heavy, I'm not exactly sure what, do you know, like the actual material that it's made out of? But, you know, it's rolled up. We've borrowed, or Theater 810 has borrowed some from UL, which we are so grateful for. It's working out beautifully. But in dance productions, a lot of times modern dancers, ballet dancers, will find themselves in a position of, you know, rolling this floor out and taping it down. And there are specific ways that you get the bumps out, and rolling it up can sometimes, for me, be a challenge too. So,
but it makes all the difference, doesn't
yeah,
it, in being able to use that?
It's yeah. kind of like one of the rituals of, you know, you get that first step and the floor is down and you
know, feeling.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Well, let's talk a bit about the pieces in Haunt. You've mentioned that one is a reworking and three are ideas coming from your journals.
Right.
What is the reworking, the piece that's reworked?
The reworking was actually my senior project here at UL Lafayette. The title of the piece is called Quick to Fixate, Quick to Follow. And I've always imagined it taking place on a playground, and so there are some kind of childlike elementary school age movements and ideas that people, you know, would recognize as such. But the piece itself actually kind of deals with this is always a hard part for me because I don't want to give too much away, but I guess learning how to get along with other people, and you know, there are lots of things that we learn when we're children, but kids can be not quite as compassionate at, you know, at a certain age and time, and I think sometimes those moments, I know I have moments in my life from childhood where you really learn those life lessons about other people's feelings. So that's kind of, yeah, the first piece deals a lot with that. Then we have two duets. That's a group piece. Two duets. One has to do with a dream about finding an elephant in my apartment, and how I dealt with that. The dancers performing that, the title of that dance is The Elephant in the Room. And Sabrina Benazuz and Brandy Simon are dancing that piece. Then the second duet, Frances Barker and myself are dancing. Frances is also a UL alum and a good friend of ours. And that is actually titled Haunt. And the dream that I had that inspired this piece was I was with someone in this huge house, and we were trying to connect with each other, and one door would close and the other one would open, and we just kind of kept missing each other. So that's what the third piece is about. And then I have had lots of tornado dreams. Tornadoes are a recurring theme a lot for me in my dreams. And so the last piece, which is called Chasers, is a tornado dream.
Lots of haunting I can see in those.
Yeah.
In many ways. If you are just tuning in, we're talking about the performance Haunt, which will open at Theater 810 this Friday and run through the weekend. The group Movement Lab Dance Group is putting it on. And my guests, Teresa Rosolowski and Melinda Kubero, are working with this this group, newly formed modern dance group here in our community. Teresa is choreographer and director for the piece, and Melinda is stage manager for this particular piece, but has her own group up in New York called Blackbird Dance Group. So this is your first performance. This is the premiere, the debut performance of your group. How are you feeling about
it? I'm so excited. I'd kind of taken a break between graduating here at UL and when I started with Alice in Wonderland, when I auditioned for that, and had been doing a bit of acting, but wasn't really exactly sure what my path was with dance anymore. And I've just been feeling so grateful every day. You know, it feels great to be in the theater. I feel so lucky to be able to do what I'm doing. And I love it.
Well, and it always fascinates me how much creativity and innovation we have here in our own community. And you must know, going back and forth from New York, that even though there's some amazing things happening there, what people actually do here and can accomplish is astounding.
Yes, it really is. Mm-hmm. It's very impressive. Coming from Austin and coming back home here to Lafayette, it's really wonderful to see so many people doing really wonderful art making mm-hmm. here. Home.
So and so many genres, like
right.
as you
exactly.
mentioned, whether visual, musical, dance.
Exactly.
So many.
I really am excited to see what the next 5 years are going to be like here in Lafayette. Mm-hmm. There, you know, Alexandra has done her Alice in Wonderland, and she started a burlesque dance mm-hmm, mm-hmm. group. And we've got the ACA residency program, which has brought a bunch of local artists to their beautiful space.
Quite a bit of modern dance
we've got new theaters like 810 open, and we've got a pole dance studio now too. Mm-hmm. So they're just I really think that there's going to be a lot happening.
Yeah, and it's just an explosion of collaboration and creativity.
Yes. I'm so excited to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Well, we look forward to the future works by Movement Lab and what you all do here in our community.
Thanks.
Again, Teresa Rosolowski and Melinda Kubero. The production Haunt opens Friday. It will be, what time does it start on?
Friday, it starts at 7:30. Mm-hmm. Saturday's art walk, so it'll be a little later. It'll be 8 o'clock. And then Sunday is a matinee at 3.
All right. Get your tickets now. Again, only about 50 seats in Theater 810. You can call them to reserve your seats for any one of those performances this weekend.
Right.
Well, thank you both.
Thank you.